You're listening to 95.7 KQWC, Webster City's Classic Hits. Now it's time to join sports director Quinn Douglas and former ESPN and NFL media executive John Marvel for Lynx Huddle at Morning Glory Coffee in downtown Webster City.
Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Lynx Huddle here at Morning Glory Coffee in downtown Webster City on this Friday morning. It is going to be a scorcher outside for high school football. Still pretty nice outside here on this Friday. Sports Director Quinn Douglas with you here at Morning Glory Coffee, our Week 3 edition of Lynx Huddle here on 95.7 KQWC. John Marble will be joining us later on, as well as Webster City football coach Andy Brim. Webster City coming in to this Week 3 matchup against a top 5 Clear Lake team, 1-1. Webster City falls to Fort Dodge last Friday, 7-6, a game that was a defensive chess match, I believe would be the appropriate term to use for Friday night's game. Both touchdowns came in the second quarter. Fort Dodge scored a touchdown. True McBride went to the air in that second quarter, and he would find one of his favorite targets in Cal Peterson for a 6-yard touchdown pass to put Webster City, or put Fort Dodge at 7-0. Webster City did respond before halftime. Jackson Griffith had a 42-yard touchdown run to seemingly get things going for the Lynx offense, but the missed extra point made it 7-6, but the defenses would rule in the second half as Fort Dodge would hold on their first victory since this series renewed back in 2021 by a 7-6 margin. A few things that really stood out for Webster City's game last week, a lot of them on the defensive side. Number one, the emergence of Grant Aarons. Aarons, 7 tackles, 3 solo tackles, had an interception, was great in pass defense, 3 pass breakups for Aarons last week. He has really emerged as a playmaker in that linebacking core for this Webster City team. Someone to join with Aiden Hernacek in the middle of that defense to really step up and make a lot of plays. Grant Aarons has done so and done it quite often here in 2025. Jackson Griffith, that's the second point. He continues his high-level play on both sides of the football, finished with the game as Webster City's leading rusher, had that 42-yard touchdown run, also led Webster City in tackles, had 11.5 tackles on Friday night. He had a tackle for loss in there as well. He is really emerging as one of the premier two-way players in this Class 3A District 1. He'll be someone to watch as the season goes on. Obviously, district play starts up in a couple of weeks. I think people should be really excited at what Jackson can do once district play starts. And even these last couple games of non-district play, going up against some really good competition in Clear Lake in the next week for homecoming with Gilbert, this is definitely someone that is a difference maker for this Webster City team. And I think the third bullet point, I think that's something we're going to see a lot this year, will be limiting an explosive offense to just 7 points. Fort Dodge, we talked about coming in, the playmakers they have: True McBride at quarterback, Noah Daniel, he can hurt you on offense, he can hurt you on special teams. Drayshawn Ross, obviously we know about his credentials as an athlete overall. Webster City did a great job of limiting them, holding them off the scoreboard to just the 7 points. Unfortunately, it was not enough to get the win, but keeping that offense with that many playmakers out of the end zone is definitely a positive coming out of that week two matchup with Fort Dodge. And they're going to face another team on Friday night, so we'll talk with Coach Brim here in a couple of moments, that has a lot of playmakers of that caliber. Guys, you know, for Clear Lake, quarterback Jackson McIntyre, Sandaja, running back, a name that's familiar to those here in Hamilton County, Colby Hodnefield. He is playing his senior year at Clear Lake. He is off to a really good start playing wide receiver and safety for this Clear Lake team as well. So this is a Clear Lake team. They have just as many playmakers as the Sport Dodge team, so the challenge will remain the same, and we'll touch on that here in just a little bit, again, with Webster City head coach Andy Brim. But if you're going to make the trip up to Lions Field tonight, bit of a slight change from what we were expecting. 7:30 kickoff tonight from Lions Field in Clear Lake for Webster City and Clear Lake. That will move our pregame time back to 6:45 is when we'll start with the Radio Iowa scoreboard show at 6:45 over on AM 1570 KZWC. We'll hear from Clear Lake coach Aaron Stensland, and then, of course, you'll hear our replay of our interview coming up with Webster City head coach Andy Brim. And with that, we'll bring Coach Brim in here on this Friday morning. And Coach, good morning. Thanks for joining us. And we're halfway through the non-district slate, but like you said, it almost feels like that Fort Dodge game is forever ago.
A lot happens here for us in a week. So, yeah, ready to go for Clear Lake tonight.
And, look, taking a look back at that Fort Dodge game, I want to talk about the defense first and foremost and how well they did. You allow the numbers 285 yards total offense, but at the same time, you hold them off the scoreboard 7 points. And what can you say about your team? We talked about the playmakers Fort Dodge had, only holding them off the only holding them to just one touchdown, doing a really good job in limiting possessions and making them come up empty.
Yeah, I thought the kids played pretty well on defense. We gave up more yards than we wanted to, but that's going to happen sometimes. And you mentioned, they have a lot of weapons and a lot of ways that they can make plays. They had a long pass play that ended up setting up their touchdown. And, that's on me as a coach. We had a busted coverage there, but we got to do a better job, or I have to do a better job, getting kids ready to play and making sure that we know some of the adjustments and the checks that we're going to have. So, our defense isn't overly complicated, but you do have to adjust each week to make sure that you're sound against the different things that you're going to see. So that's been a little bit of a focus this week, and I just got to do a better job making sure that the kids know exactly what they're supposed to do and when they're supposed to do it.
And obviously we talked about Jackson Griffith and his performance and how good of a start he's off to on both sides of the football. I know he's someone we talked about even back at the start of preseason and the start of August, but just through the first couple of games, I mean, what has really stood out to you about Jackson's impact on and I imagine he has a similar impact on special teams.
Yeah, I mean, Jackson's he's a unique kid. He definitely has the ability to change any game in one play on in any phase of the game. He's a kick returner. He's got the ability to break some of those open. And then defensively, he is in a position where he can go make plays, or at least that's where we try to have him. And he does a good job of that and kind of takes what comes to him. Offensively, obviously he's the home run threat, and he has the ability to break any play. And that happened the other night. I think it was 40, 45 yards or something like that for a touchdown. But he definitely has the ability to change any game in just a short amount of time.
And with that, obviously we talked about as well the challenge of Fort Dodge defensively and what the offensive line was going to have to do against a really talented Fort Dodge front. We talked about Dre'Tron Ross. There's a couple other guys on that defensive line that were really good. And just overall, handling an early test like that for that offensive line, what are some things that you think the offensive line took away and learned from an experience going up against, such a talented front like Fort Dodge had?
Well, one of the big things that we talk about in practice all the time is, and when you're going up against your scout team, kids that maybe are a little bit out of position and stuff, that's different than when you go up against a team that's playing their own scheme and playing and doing the things that they practice every day. So adjusting to the speed of things is always key. Offensive line-wise, what that looks like is, anticipating where people are going to be, being on the correct path that you're supposed to be on, and then you take the first off-colored jersey that you get to. So we have to do a better job of adjusting to those things, adjusting to the speed, and I think the kids will. It just takes practice and it takes reps. That's one of the good things, I guess, about our extremely tough schedule is that you're going to get a lot of good game reps. If you play good teams, hopefully that makes your team better, and in the long run, that's going to help us out.
And obviously we'll shift our focus now to tonight's matchup with Clear Lake in a pretty similar test as we look at least on the defensive side of the team with a number of playmakers. We talked about, the quarterback Jackson McIntyre, Sam Dodge, Colby Hyde in the field. Those are the three that really stood out through the first couple of games. And obviously you're getting the Clear Lake team coming off of a big win over Humboldt the week before. And just first looking at this Clear Lake offense, I know you guys have gotten a good look at it the last couple of years. What's unique about this year's Clear Lake team when you see it on film, and what are some areas that your team has to excel in to slow down this Clear Lake offense?
Well, I think it's going to be kind of a common theme throughout the year, but Clear Lake has a lot of athletes. They've got a lot of kids that have the ability to make huge plays in just an instant, in just one play that can completely change a game. So, like I've always said, being where we're supposed to be, having our eyes where they're supposed to be, will be huge for us on the defensive side. The McIntyre kid at quarterback is a huge asset to them, so he's got a lot of experience back there. He's a tremendous athlete. He can run, he can pass, so just kind of being ready for that. And then the Dodge kid has a lot of experience also, and I believe he's a 2-year starter. There will be a 3-year starter this year for him, so when you play good athletes and then on top of that they have experience, so that's always a challenge. But I think our kids are ready for the challenge and will rise to that occasion. You know, I mentioned before, I don't know that our kids really care who we play. They just want to play the game. They want to have fun competing. So we're excited to get up to Clear Lake and go on the road and be able to compete again for Friday night.
And offensively, what are some things that you are looking for on the offensive side for them to bounce back with after that loss to Fort Dodge on Friday night? What are some things that you and the staff are looking for to see what's improved from last week's ball game?
Well, I think everybody's heard me say it before, but a saying in our program is better every day. Mm-hmm. So you don't stay the same. You're either going to get better or you're going to get worse. So, you know, even though we didn't end up on the right side of the scoreboard Friday against Fort Dodge, I definitely think we got better in that game. And we get better every day in practice. And that's what it's going to take, is just a little bit better each day. The offensive line will get a little bit better each day. The backs will get a little bit better each day. And then, you know, I talked about our kids competing. So as long as we're willing to go out and compete for four quarters and do our jobs on both sides of the ball, then I like our chances to have a chance at the end of the game.
And I guess one thing that's a little bit unique about this week as well, you know, I know we talked about it when you got here, obviously the weather last week, you know, you ended the game, it's probably in the low 50s, maybe close to the 40s outside. Today it's going to be about probably in the mid-80s when you kick off this ball game. And obviously both teams have to deal with this weather. It's not just a one-team problem, but, you know, in a situation where you go from a week to where it's as cool as it was last week to now how warm it is this week, you know, just what kind of a challenge does that present for your football team and for both football teams, granted, on Friday night going into a game where it's going to be much warmer than where it was last week?
Yeah, I guess, I mean, it's Iowa weather, Iowa fall. Football season in Iowa, you're going to have hot nights, you're going to have cold nights. I don't know that it matters a whole lot to our kids. Obviously, you know, you have the chance of cramps and stuff like that, but our kids are in pretty good shape. They have to be. We play a lot of kids both ways. We're not real deep. We don't have a ton of kids out. We'd love to have more kids come out and be a part of football, but the kids that we have are there, and they work really hard, and they bust their butt, and they have to be ready to play both ways and stay in games, and they know that, and I think they accept that challenge also.
All right. Well, Coach, thanks for taking the time to talk to us. Good luck tonight up at Clear Lake. I got a feeling it should be another fun one tonight.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
So that was Webster City head football coach Andy Brim here on our Lynx Huddle program presented by Morning Glory Coffee here in downtown Webster City. Again, Webster City, Clear Lake kicking off 7:30 tonight. Pre-game starts at 6:45 for the Lynx and the Lions. Jerry Claver will have the call of the action on AM 1570 KZWC tonight as Webster City. Two more non-district games for the Lynx before they get into district play at Clear Lake tonight. They're back at home for homecoming next week with Gilbert to wrap up the non-district slate. As taking a look ahead to this game here tonight against Clear Lake, you know, you heard Coach Brim talk about the talent that Clear Lake has. It's pretty similar to what Fort Dodge has. You know, we talked about guys like Jackson McIntyre, Sam Dodge, Colby Hodnefield, and the challenge they present. And I guess, you know, looking at our keys, at least my keys to the game tonight for Webster City, it's a pretty similar messaging to what we saw a week ago against Fort Dodge. Number one, make your offense your defense. That goes back to keeping those Clear Lake playmakers off the field, at least on the offensive side of the football, and establish long drives. I know with Webster City's offense, they want to control the clock, they want to control the line of scrimmage, and they want, and if they can do that, that's a good way to make your to have your offense play defense. And Webster City, of course, you know, under this single wing offense, it does a remarkable job of that. Number two, when you're on the defensive side of the football, keep those Clear Lake playmakers in front of you. Kind of goes back to what we were talking about in week one with Iowa Falls all then, and how Iowa Falls wanted to throw the football around and stretch the field vertically. Clear Lake, while they may not be an air raid type of offense like in Iowa Falls, they can stretch the field vertically with some of their athletes they have in the passing game. If Webster City can stay in front of these Clear Lake playmakers, they will be in position to not only make this a ball game, but a position to win this game. You got to remember, this was a game, folks, you know, in the second half last year, Webster City had a lead in the second half in this matchup a year ago at the same place at Lions Field before Clear Lake was able to pull away late. So this is a game that very much could go be a four-quarter battle at Lions Field. here up in Clear Lake. So this is I expect this to be a very competitive ball game and coming right down to the wire, quite frankly. I could very much see this being like last week's game. And number three is win the line of scrimmage early. Set the tone at the line of scrimmage early. You know, we've heard Coach Brim talk about getting off to fast starts, getting out, you know, and setting the tone early. Doing that at the line of scrimmage, and not just on the offensive side, on the defensive side. If Webster City can win the line of scrimmage early on both sides of the football, if they can get some push up front on that interior of the offensive line, it's still a talented defensive line, but it does not have a Drayshon Ross, per se, like last week, a guy that could be a game wrecker like a Drayshon Ross. They don't have that this week for Clear Lake, but still, it's a very talented defensive front. You have to respect the opponent, no question about it. But definitely, if the offensive and defensive line can win the line of scrimmage early, they will be in position. Webster City will be in great position going into this game. So that those are my keys to the game. And I know John Harbaugh just sat down. I'll give him a couple seconds here to settle in before we have him throw on the headset. But again, Webster City football coming up tonight here at 7:30 over on AM 1570 KZWC. Jerry Claver has the call of the action as Webster City takes on Clear Lake. Former North Central Conference rivals, wrote in our Know the Foe series earlier this week. This is a rivalry that dates back, you know, decades, even close to a century between these two North Central Conference opponents as all-time. As we look at the series, Webster City does lead the all-time series 47-26-3. Clear Lake didn't win last year's meeting, 49-21 up at Lions Field in Clear Lake. So it should be, like I said, that score is pretty deceiving. This was a ball game well into the second half last year before some untimely mistakes kind of undid things for Webster City. I expect this to be a competitive four-quarter ball game between the Lynx and the Lions. And, John, you want to throw the headset on here real quick? And we'll have you and Andy switch spots here. And, again, thanks to Coach Brim for joining us again here on this Friday morning. As we'll have John throw on the headset here just for a couple minutes. We only got a couple minutes left, so won't be that long. John, good morning. Thanks for joining us once again. Busy morning. Glad to see a lot of people were here at the start of the show. No question about that.
So here's the deal, Quinn. If I'm not here at the start of the show, you know we're busy.
Yep.
So
yep.
That means things are happening.
Yes. Yes.
You might also say all hell is breaking loose, but we try to keep it to a minimum.
Yep.
But,
Good morning, by the way. Good morning. Yeah. Good morning. But obviously, you're looking ahead to tonight. What are some things you're looking forward to? I don't know if you're making the trip or not tonight up to Clear Lake. But at least, what are some things you're looking forward to, at least from Webster City's perspective, tonight's game?
I think that bouncing back from certainly a tough loss, and how you respond to that, to me, is going to be first and foremost. Mm-hmm. I think that. When you have a game such as that, you leave it all on the field and you walk out of there and it's a 1-point game and you're on the other side of it, then you tend to go, it can have an effect. But I looked at the team when at the end of the game, there wasn't a lot of moping disappointment. I think a lot of heads held high, and it was a great effort. So what you hope to do is take advantage of that and get on that bus and get there and have that attitude where you can show up. Road games, in this conference are tough
it's a long distance.
Everyone counts and you want to build and you want to get that record to 2-1.
And it probably doesn't help as well. This is a North Central Conference. It doesn't hurt that this is a North Central Conference rivalry. I mean, this is a rivalry well outside of football that, as Coach Howard would say when we used to talk to him, you don't need any help getting motivated for this game. This is a rivalry. Your rivalry game dating back to the NCC.
Hey, this dates back to, my father and my uncle. My father, class of 63, my uncle, class of 65. And you talk about, there are a couple teams that on the schedule or towns, and mm-hmm. Clear Lake was one of those. We hate those guys. So because a lot of guys would go up there during the summer, and you'd see guys around town, you'd see guys on the lake, and there'd be some talking, some back and forth. I was going to say something. I caught myself though, so that's a good thing.
But I actually talked about this a little bit too during the volleyball game on Tuesday night. You know, you've got two athletic programs that are consistently successful in a lot of sports. That breeds, that breeds a rivalry. Whether it's not like Clear Lake's a neighbor rival. They're not a St. Edmund or an Iowa Falls Alden or a Clarion. But when you breed success in so many programs and you play each other, for conference titles or for district titles in so many different sports, it can breed that kind of a rivalry. And I think Clear Lake and Webster City is that kind of a rivalry where success has bred that rivalry, and it's a high level rivalry year in and year out.
Yeah, and I think I think I'd be curious to hear what you were starting with your keys to the game and kind of going from there to see what you're thinking.
Yeah, my thoughts as I had written down here. Number one was make offense or defense. Control the clock is essentially what I'm saying. Keep those Clear Lake playmakers off the field offensively. Although a lot of Clear Lake is pretty similar in where a lot of their stars play both ways of the football too. Number two, stay in front of the Clear Lake playmakers. I talked about Jackson McIntyre, Sam Dodge, the running back, Colby Hyde in the field, the South Hamilton transfer receiver. Those are explosive playmakers that can make you pay at any given time. So it's kind of the similar messaging to that Iowa Falls Alden game where, this is a team. It's a pretty high-flying team with a lot of athletes. You make sure you keep your defense stays in front of them and also apply pressure on the quarterback, which is something that, of course, Webster City's done really well over the last couple years. And then number three, win the line of scrimmage early. If Webster City can win the line of scrimmage early on both sides of the football, you've got yourself a pretty good advantage going out through the rest of the game. You have to maintain it, obviously, but winning the line of scrimmage early, I think, could go a long way in setting the tone for this football game.
Yeah. I'd like to see how Grant Aarons takes advantage of his game last week and how he can maybe even take it up another notch. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that was...
And he was somebody we mentioned at the top of the broadcast about how well he has played the first 2 weeks of the season.
Yeah, and from coming in and last year, sophomore tight end and now taking it another level and watching him kind of start to grow into where... they're especially defensively, grow into – it looked like the other night he really had a nose for where he was going and in position and, was able to, make plays.
It also helps, you have a talented linebacker like Nathan Hernicek, who's going to draw a lot of attention from opposing offenses. Having that guy like a Grant Aaron step up and be able to one to make those plays when, if they're sending, a guy or two at Aiden Hernicek right off the football. If Grant Aarons is the guy that can clean that up and play at a high level, then that makes things even harder for opposing offenses to game plan for.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, John and Andy, thanks so much for joining us again this morning. Again, kickoff 7:30 p.m. here on this Friday evening over on AM 1570 KZWC with Jerry Claver on the call pregame at 6:45 on the Radio Iowa Scouting Report, as well as words from Clear Lake coach Aaron Stensland before you'll hear again from Webster City head coach Andy Brim. Again, that's all coming up 6:45 pregame over on AM 1570 KZWC. As we're going to take this back to normal programming here on 95.7 KQWC. Again, don't forget to come out next week. Be here same time next week as well.
And remember, we still haven't had a winner in the trivia contest.
Yeah, the trivia. Yeah. The trivia was, what was the last year that Webster City made the state championship game? Who was it against, and what was the score?
Exactly.
If you can come up and tell us that here in person.
We got a T-shirt, and we get a free breakfast for you. But we've had a couple people come in, and haven't had it right.
Yep. So, and I'll let you know if somebody gives me the right answer. I haven't had anybody give me an answer yet. So, but that offer does still stand. So we'll send it back to regular programming here on 95.7 KQW.